Backseat Quickies, episode 17, Fright Night, 2011.
Wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 wow.
Hey, I'm Scott.
And I'm Bhavna.
And this is Backseat Quickies, and we are doing Fright Night, in which Ensign Chekhov does battle with the vampire Alexander the Great after the death of his friend McLovin with the aid of Doctor Number 10.
D10.
Yeah.
Do 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 do.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I knew the Craig Ferguson Doctor Who theme with the lyrics he wrote, I would sing it, but I can't remember it right now.
Me neither, but everyone's envisioning it now, so you've done your job.
Just imagine the little Craig Ferguson dance and the crocodile.
And the Daleks.
Yes. This is a remake of a movie from 1986, and it's
a cult classic.
Cult classic. I think there's just some sort of bizarre rule that any horror movie made from like 82 to 88 became a cult classic, devaluing the word.
Yes and no. Yeah, okay, fine, you have a point. I'm not going to argue that one.
Like, and I'm sure there are cult classics that predate and post-date that period, but it seems like everything in that slot has some sort of cult following.
Yeah, just wait in a few years, it'll all be 90s movies.
Oh, God, don't. Yeah.
There'll be, like, a remake of, I don't know, Toy Soldiers or something.
That'll be weird. But yes, this movie's got a fairly basic plot in that boy meets vampire, vampire starts stalking all his neighbors, boy's nerdy friend convinces him to try and fight the vampire, boy's nerdy friend gets eaten, boy teams up with stage magician, who is somehow an expert on the occult, to fight the vampire and save the girlfriend and the day and such.
It's really just one really long Doctor Who episode, which is probably why I liked it. If you really think about it.
You know, it could work. It could work. I'd buy it.
Be a great Doctor Who episode. You know, again, with that plot, but then, you know, finally a boy is a doctor's companion.
You know, that used to happen.
Yeah, the vampires aren't, well, spoilers. Yeah, I know that used to happen, but now it's just a bevy of pretty ladies.
I have no, well, you know what? Doctors used to be cool old guys, and now they're just estrogen bait. So I think it's fair.
Hey. David Tennant is not just estrogen bait. Calm yourself. Anyway, yeah, it was, just, if you thought about it, just a long Doctor Who, you know, episode, but it was really, really fun. I had a lot of fun watching this movie.
Like, it's definitely got its moments. There's some, like, I really like how they portray Jerry the Vampire as sort of, like, your average douchebag sexual predator, except he also eats girls. One complaint I want to get out is they spend a lot of time explaining Tennant's character and how exactly he would have all this occult knowledge, whereas the original had the really easy method of, well, this guy's a washed-up movie actor who played Abraham Van Helsing like a kajillion times.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not trying to be the original. It's trying to be at least a little different, you know? And today's audiences won't just, like, you know, eat it up like they used to in the 80s.
Yeah.
There's no room for that, you know, suspending of disbelief anymore.
Not in vampire movies, certainly.
No.
So, something I actually do like is that I have a love-hate relationship with genre-savvy horror movies, but this one was genre-savvy enough that it didn't have to spend, you know, the obligatory 5-minute scene explaining, you know, all the little rules of vampires and how they're different from the regular rules for this particular movie.
I like the one, like, you know, tying into that, I like the one scene where the girlfriend, who I don't remember the name of because it's been a while since I've seen this movie, takes a shot at Jerry the Vampire, but with silver bullets, and he's like, werewolves. And I'm like, oh. So not only is it, like, you know, genre savvy enough within its own, but, you know, branching out to werewolves and other things as well.
And even he's aware, even Jerry's aware of the movies and lore surrounding him. Your thoughts on acting?
I thought it was actually really well done for this type of movie. You know, Charlie was believable enough and like a paranoid little geeky turned popular guy, you know, turned I must save the world type of guy. Colin Farrell was pretty great. He was, come on, who doesn't love a vampire whose catchphrase is, hey guy? You know?
Well, it beats anything any Twilight vampire has said.
Yeah, well, it's a lot better than any Twilight vampire. Though I do have one complaint, though. I have one. Budweiser? Seriously? Budweiser? Who keeps Budweiser stocked in their fridge? Budweiser? You might as well have just given him bottles of water.
Yep.
That tastes nasty.
So something I will say about the acting is I really do like McLovin as sort of a snotty, annoying villain character. Like, as much as he's always, like, in the three movies I've seen him in, he's been snotty and annoying. He does snotty, annoying villain super good. Like, in this, when he comes back as a vampire and as the Red Mist in Kick-Ass, he's good at that.
He can dish it out just as well as he can take it.
Like, he's taunting and weaselly and, you know, throwing hits, and it's cool. I like him in that. I do like Chekhov. His first name is Anton, so now I'm getting the two Chekhovs mixed up. But Chekhov as sort of unsure of himself socially and still managed to come off as semi-badass and willing to light himself on fire to save the day.
Yep. I also really like you said, I love the acting of Christopher Mintz-Plasse, aka McLovin. He's just a really good, self-assured, badass nerd. Like, he's smart and he doesn't care who knows. Like, there's a scene where he comes back, obviously, as a vampire, and it's just one of the best scenes I've ever seen in my life as far as, like, you know, witty banter goes. It was amazing.
Creature effects in this, it's okay for the most part. Towards the end, there's a few that don't look good, and it's not like, and it's in that awkward range between not good and cheesy, so bad it's cheesy fun.
Well, you see,
like, there's some organ explosions that happen that are, like, they aren't cheesy fun, they're just bad.
The CGI was good when it was isolated, like, it was maybe one thing that was CGI'd in the entire scene, but then near the end, like what you're saying, when it was just a whole bunch of CGI in every single aspect of the room, that's when it got, like, a little overwhelming.
But yeah, some very good practical makeup things. Like, they've got the, I like the way the vampire's hands look when they're sort of vamping out. They get this hair and, like, the Max Schreck almost look to it. As Count Orlok.
Yeah. The transformation was really cool. Like, you know, vampires are supposed to be menacing. They're supposed to be scary. They're supposed to, you know, make you want to crap your pants. So, like, you know, none of that sparkly bullcrap and, you know,
he's not moody.
The romantic,
he doesn't,
like,
talk about his feelings.
No, he drinks beers and drains bitches.
That's right.
Straight up Vampire Jerry. But, they were kind of terrifying. I was actually, terrified when I saw him for the first time. One scene I really liked in particular was when Chekhov is attempting to free stripper lady from Jerry's house when he first, like, you know, breaks into Jerry's house. There, like, it was a very, very intense moment. You don't know if they're going to make it out or not. Like, I mean, in the back of your mind, you know, because how could the movie go on for another hour and a half?
Like, you check your watch and it's like, this is 32 minutes in. There's a whole lot of movie left.
That's the only reason you know he makes it out, but, like, you're so in the moment that it's, you don't know if they're going to make it out or not. And I, you know, give props to that.
Yeah. It's also great because, like, as that scene ends and the girl dies trying to escape because of some stuff that I'm not going to totally spoil, but she doesn't make it out, and you see him sitting there smiling like he knew the whole time.
And as cool as that was, it was, again, terrifying. Because, dude, evil guy knows what you're up to. That's never good.
Like, Colin Farrell, deliciously evil, pretty rapey.
Yep. And I remember reading an article or an interview when this movie was coming out that Colin Farrell said that, look, he's done a lot of serious roles lately. He just wanted to, you know, let down his curls and do a fun, wacky film. And I think he achieved that with this movie.
Yeah. Other technical thing I should mention is I think the soundtrack tries too hard. Like, it is constantly going,
a little bit.
We've got the squeaky strings all the time. You should be tense. And it's just, it comes out. There are scenes where it just gets annoying.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Any final thoughts and a rating?
Well, for me, it was one of the most fun I've had all summer at the theaters, which is also what my friend Sarah had said when I, because she's the one I went to go see it with. I would say if you're looking to have, like, a fun time, some laughs, some cries, some, oh my god, I'm going to shit my pants, this would be a good movie to watch. I wouldn't, you know, it's obviously not great cinema, but I would definitely recommend it as a watch, especially if you're a genre fan. I'd give it a, I almost said 4, 3.75 out of 5, just because I can.
All right, I'm just going to go straight down the middle on this, 2.5. It's nothing spectacular. Like, it's not good, it's not bad. I don't think I'll really find it all that memorable. If you're still on the fence about this movie, if it's still in theaters where you are, the original's probably on Netflix and just as good.
Oh, well, fair enough. I say see it, he says don't, but whatever. You listen to me instead.
Alright, until next week.
Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. To offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.